This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida. And you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for March 1st, episode 1371. Brought to you today by S Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
It's top class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, welcome back, Emily.
Yay, happy to be back. Missed you guys.
Missed you too. I know you've been very busy down there in Wellington trying to keep life straight between all the thousand businesses you have.
Oh, I know. You know me, I like to keep things complicated. I've got horses at, used to be four different places. Now we're consolidating. I've got them at three different places.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And I'm taking care of one of them. I have a horse on the ground, so stall. I kind of rotate them around. But I take care of the horse on the showgrounds, like, you know, three meals, like stall and everything. It's crazy, but the horses are going well. So I guess it's being productive.
Well, I want to talk to you about that. We want to remind everybody that Emily is normally here. She hasn't been here the last couple of months, but she will be for the rest of the year here. Emily is normally here the first Tuesday of every month, and she does our jumping episode where we talk all things jumping. And we have a big show planned for today, which Jennifer's going to tell us about right now.
Coming up on today's S Equestrian Jumping Tuesday episode, Aaron Gilmore from Noel Floyd has the latest news from the hunter jumper world. And then Jill Townsend and Mikala Gunderson are going to explain why we should be taking our horse to the horse gym. And Sarah Watson has some information on developing young riders. And then to round out the show, Jennifer Hannon shares her expertise on choosing and training top level hunters. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
That's appropriate, seeing Georgia's book just came out, or is coming out very shortly. So we'll have to make sure you get a copy of that.
I definitely do want a copy.
Yeah, we'll have to have you do it's called Unrelenting, I think, right? Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure you do a review for us of the book.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Did you ever get to take a lesson with the George?
I did. I rode with him a bunch when I was a junior, different clinics, developing riders, and actually some horse shows here and there. But yeah, he is tough.
Did he ever call you fat?
He did not.
Okay.
But I didn't feel like I didn't pay attention a lot, but you know, like at Gladstone, they've got all the mirrors on all the walls. And so we would do a lot of the developing rider clinics there, and he would catch me, man. Like I didn't even know that I was doing it, but I guess I would kind of like look away from him talking, you know, look down or something. And he would turn around with the microphone. I mean, he had eyes in the back of his head. It felt like, you, Missy, don't you look at your nails when I'm in the ring. Like, no, I wasn't. No, I was paying attention. So, I mean, we've all had our fair share.
We're talking about George Morris for anybody that might not know.
He is a piece of work. But you know what? He was right. You know, I probably wasn't, you know, I was probably blinking or something.
What's the one thing that stands out in your mind? It might not even been with you, but somebody else in the clinic. What's the one thing that jumps out that you'll never forget?
Oh, I remember one time, I mean, we were jumping big there at that same, anyone that knows the original Gladstone facility, that indoor is teeny tiny. You know, people normally do their warm up there to go and then compete at USCT finals was out in the big rings. But I mean, we were jumping so big, like courses, like triple combinations, like bending to end jumps, like everything. And I was like, wow, like this is serious. One of the girls, he actually made her jump the whole course, boom, out of nowhere with no stirrups.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, nobody can do that. This is crazy. Oh, and she did it. I couldn't believe it.
She didn't end up in the wall?
She didn't. I thought, oh, gosh, this girl's going to fall off. Nobody can do this. I mean, to just ride, because these horses, they jump hard and the indoor's so small and all this. But, I had real respect.
Do you practice jumping horses with no stirrups?
I mean, not like that. You know, I was like, oh, thank God he didn't ask me. You know? Oh, geez. But you can't say no. I mean,
what would happen if you did say no? He would just kick you the hell out.
I mean, for
sure. Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah, go home. Yeah. Don't ever come back. I'll never see your face again.
Yeah, no, totally. We had
George has that unique talent, more so than probably 98% of the other instructors out there, to not only recognize in a rider how much they can do if they just put aside their lack of self-confidence and do it, but he can recognize what riders can do that even the other riders don't think they can do. He can see it. I don't know how he does
it. No, he is really good. He really is. And he's very sharp. And he's funny because everyone says he's like an elephant. He never forgets. And he really is like that. He remembers everybody, everything. But no, he's incredible. He came down to a clinic we had when I, my business in Dallas. And I'll never forget this poor woman. I don't know. I don't think the people were pre-screened, honestly, to come into the different levels. Like, you know, the horse, like as soon as I saw her turn the corner, I thought, oh boy, this isn't going to go good. I mean, this horse is like a paint horse. It's like definitely a quarter horse. Like the bridle is not a jumping bridle. And this woman, she's a very nice lady. I don't even know who she was, but she, in lieu of a saddle pad, had an actual towel under the saddle.
And this was in a George clinic?
It did not make it to the clinic. I think she came in and was kindly asked to go somewhere else. I was like, oh, I wonder if she got her money back. Don't show up with a towel as a saddle pad, people.
No, probably
not. Not clinic. Dress code.
No, I know. And then the paint horse, you know, I mean, anyways.
Well, I have to do this because I have them handy. And I know I played a couple yesterday, but I can't resist.
You heard I was an ogre. I am an ogre.
George.
Your shirt isn't tucked in and your horse looks feral. Get out. Just get out of the ring.
Okay, I think that's what happened. That may have actually been from this clinic.
Your horse looks feral. When's the last time a clinician's ever said that?
Oh, we all saw it coming. I was nervous. I was nervous. I was even in the group. Like, I was going to get in trouble.
That has to be more nerve-wracking than showing in front of 10,000 people.
Oh, it is, because George, I'm telling you, he's got eyes in the back of his head. He'll be facing the crowd and...
There's all kinds
of people that audit, you know, giving his something about, you know, a training scale, something like this. And he'll call your name and whip around. There'll be like 15 people, you know, on horseback in a semicircle around him. Emily, you tell me what I just said. Oh, the whole thing? Okay. You know, you're just like, I'm going to die. Or I'm going to get kicked out or both. At least I have a saddle pad.
Does he have like a dart gun? He can like tranquilize you on the spot.
Oh, he has a way. He will. Yes. You better remember what George says. Let me tell you.
I want to know. I'm going to take a look. We'll have to do a whole show on George sometime. And we'll have to just get various people on. You know, it was interesting because I think Jamie's scared to death to do a second interview with him, because that is books coming out. We could probably get him on again, right?
Totally.
But she was so terrified. She was as terrified as you were riding in the clinic to do an interview with him. And he was super nice.
He was nice. I love the him saying that he's addicted to sunglasses.
Just that the little things favorite. That he admits to, you know, and then interview was just human, actually. Almost human.
I want him on my show. Let's get him off.
All right, you can interview him, because I don't think Jamie's going to do it again.
She was good, though. I did listen. That was great.
Yeah,
was
she fun. Did a great job with it. I mean, yep. She really did. And, you know, I got interested when he started talking about his time at the theater in New York and, you know, all the
acting. I didn't know
stuff.
That.
I don't think anybody knew that. Now, this book apparently goes into all of that. So it's going to be interesting. I want to get, you know, we haven't got our preview copy yet. We should be getting it shortly. So
well, make sure that you read it and remember it all before he comes on air.
Yes.
<It'll be definite>. Don't recite pages 21 to 25.
Yeah. And don't miss a word because he probably has it memorized.
Oh, I know. No, that would be awesome. He's
what, 80 something? Did we determine? Is he 80 yet?
That sounds about right.
He has to be 80, I would think. I'm going to look it up because now I'm curious
he's
again.
All over the showgrounds down here, walking and and good, you know. Good health, seemingly.
Still doing his thing. Well, he was born in, let's see here, according to the most reliable source on the internet, Wikipedia.
Well,
he is 2016 minus, he was born in 1938. So he is 78.
Wow.
So I was close.
Well, we got to get him on. As
He's
soon
only
as that
2 years behind
out.
Monty. Actually.
Really?
Yeah, Monty's 80.
I didn't realize Monty was 80. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, that's very cool. Well, let's do this. Let's find out real quick from you before we get to our first guest, who's a regular here on the shows. We absolutely love Aaron Gilmore. But before we get to Aaron, tell us a little bit about who you're showing and what the story is in Wellington right now.
Well,
and we haven't had a Players Club report in years.
Gosh. Well, I know. And you know what? I haven't even been out at all. Although I did drive by the other day and there were quite a few cars parked up. You know, they have all the hills by the road, which I feel like if it's possible, you're going to leave the vehicle there overnight, like park it in the back.
We'll explain that to everybody later on in the show, what you're talking about.
It's been crazy for me down here. I've got, you know, last year I had the 5-year-old black stallion that ended up that we bred and ended up, we had the partnership with the Goutals and the horse ended up being exported to France to do his 6-year-old year. He's a little wily as a stallion, which you can't really do in the U.S. here. The horse shows are not set up like that. But so he's there. He's doing fantastic, putting in clean rounds now. And I have his little brother who was 3. We got him under tack hipster and then he was 4 and it just, you know, they just can't do much up in the winter. So I brought him down. He is at a polo barn because he doesn't need to be like jumping in a show barn. So he's great. We're going to get him going. Hopefully he makes his 5-year-old year. He should. And then I've got the chestnut horse, 20 Hearts, was a little bit of an investment horse that we bought over the summer. He's doing quite well. And he's 7 now. It's such a hard time of year because, on the books, the horses change age. But you're like, well, actually, their birthdays are, you know, April, June, July, whatever it is. So we're a little immature, but he's getting there. He's been putting in clean rounds, actually, in the 125s, which is exciting because he is quite green. So we'll see. He'll get showing again this week. And then I've got quite a few sales horses that I'm riding for different people. Really super nice selection. Oddly, no ponies this year. Remember last year?
You usually get the ponies because you're so tiny.
Well, which is like, you know, I would rather not ride the ponies, but it is, it's a business. And last year we had all those ponies going. A bunch of them have been winning champions.
But you know what? Right now the market is so hot for ponies. It's probably hotter for ponies than horses, isn't it?
It really is. And it's almost always like that, I think, because the kids are growing too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always trading up.
Yeah, I mean, it is wild, but just kind of ended up not happening this year. So I've got a lot of horses going and, you know, people flying in. And I do a lot of agenting, like people that want to come in and check out Wellington, set up a horse shopping trip, maybe for a week or something. And then I'll get a good selection together for them and take them around and whatnot. So I've been doing some of that and it's been packed, I'll say.
Well, that's good. And I know I asked a question. You said you were out and about taking more custom orders for show coats and shirts.
Yeah, that's been really fun. It's been slow to kind of, I mean, you know, I've been working on the show coats for so long and it does take, my minimums are small. So I can, it's sort of, you know, more personal. And so my productions are more frequent, but it does take, you know, six to eight weeks sometimes to get these coats out. So I'm right now on our third batch of these show coats and it's fun. People are getting definitely more outside of the box. I'm going to get some nice photos this next week. We had an ocean blue coat, which is like a teal. It's like so bright. Somebody bought that. That was out in action this last week. It looked beautiful, bright purple. We've had all of these, which is what I wanted. I'm like, come on. Like, nobody wants to come to the horse show and see everybody wearing the same outfit. It's ridiculous.
Like it's been for the last 100 years, you mean?
Yeah. And like, you know, case closed on the spectator appeal.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like for people who don't know horses, they're like, what is this?
Well, you know, that is one thing that the eventers have over you guys is they know how to make it fun.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like in Europe too, because they have the dressage and the jumping and it's not, you know, all today we've got quite a hunter show lined up, but that the hunters really do keep everything in check here in the US, because if you cross enter, you can't, I mean, they're giving people a hard time about contrast stitching, any like visible tag or logo, like small even on the show coats. So
it's going to have to change over the next 10 years.
I have one thing to add to that conversation. Yep. It is it's something called the 2020 agenda. And if you don't know what it is, go look it up. Horse sports got to change, dudes.
Yep.
Yep. 2020 agenda. I am going to look it up. I'm a champion of the change in the attire cause.
Well, let's see. Let's see if Aaron makes any comment on this. Coming up next, we have a regular guest on our shows, and I'm always thrilled to have her on. She's usually a roving reporter because she travels to all these exotic locations around the world, eats all this fancy food, and does all this cool stuff. And now she is chief editor for Noel Floyd, and she was up here in Ocala over the weekend. Hi, Aaron Gilmore.
Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good. Are you still traveling the world, doing all the fun things everybody is envious of you for?
Well, the world comes to Wellington for these months, so I'm in one place, which is a really nice change until at least April.
Yeah, you actually get to see the same people for more than 10 minutes.
Well, I see the same people all over the world, but the same places more like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The less traveling, it's important.
She gets to wash her clothes now in a, you know, in the same spot. Well, I
did get to see on Facebook, though, I was following Noel Floyd and saw that you were taking the commuter plane up to Ocala Live Oak.
Yeah, commuter plane is a loose term for private jet picking up on the side of the runway. So that was a new experience for me.
What, you put your thumb out and they picked you up in the private jet?
More or less. Yeah.
It's
somehow
so
they got me on some list and they said show up at the edge of this runway at this time. And I was like, okay, I'll be there. No problem.
And they just stopped and threw the door open and threw you in? Is that?
Yep. Yeah, me and a couple riders. So I was able to cover two Grand Prix on Saturday that were about 250 miles from each other.
Wow.
Almost simultaneously. It was a busy day, but it was really fun.
Okay, before you go on, though, we have to know, was the private plane really cool?
Yes, it was really cool. Although, you know, when you do things like that, you're supposed to act like you do it all the time, and it's not cool. So I did say that.
It's so funny. I know, and it really is. What an experience. But, like, unbelievable that you're able to basically shoot up there, which is essentially a four-hour drive. You got there in under an
right.
hour, right?
Right. Exactly.
So you covered Live Oak.
Decided I must photograph both Grand Prix.
You covered Live Oak over the weekend, which of course is the biggest driving event in the United States, and then they started adding some jumping to it. And I heard that they, you know, we talked a little bit. They really kicked up a notch on as far as the stadium was concerned, and apparently it's getting to be a world class event now.
Yeah, it no doubt is a world class event. It's beautiful. Just the space alone is gorgeous. And the footing on the grass field, which is always a big, big priority for the riders, was amazing. It held up so well through all 3 days. And it was a really great event. And I don't say that lightly.
Did you get to watch any of the marathon day with the carriages?
I sure did. I got out there. I hustled around the course. I took some pictures. Asked some questions because I had no idea what was going on. And
it's fun to watch, though, isn't it?
It was very fun to watch. Yeah, it was great. I'm a fan of the drivers who are like the strong but silent type. I couldn't get behind the ones that are yipping and yapping at their horses the whole time. But a lot of the really good ones were just going around that course real quiet and just talking to the horse with the reins. Like, That was pretty cool, I thought.
There's a couple of them that are really famous for the, and they're not yelling at their horses, they're just talking the whole time. But, and you know, we do, you're taught when you drive horses to talk to your horses, but some do it more vocally than others. It's like,
that's for sure.
It is a cool event, and from what I heard, we did the driving show yesterday and had a wrap up from a lot of the drivers. The crowds were out of this world this year, apparently. So that was
good. the crowds were amazing, and I have to, you know, tip my hat to the organizers for putting this show jumping class immediately after the marathon phase of the driving, because for me, it was hands down the biggest, most enthusiastic crowd attending a show jumping class that isn't a Grand Prix. Like, the class on Saturday was kind of a normal meter 40 qualifying class in my eyes, but the amount of people watching it and applauding was amazing. Biggest ever. It was great. Great to see.
Cool. So tell us what happened.
Well, I heard you talking a little bit about three-day eventing before I came on. So you'll be familiar with Marilyn Little, the three-day eventer who had a show jumping background. She has made a comeback to show jumping, definitely officially a comeback now. And she swept the show pretty much. She was second in a class the first day, and then she won the class on Saturday, and she won the big World Cup Qualifier Grand Prix on Sunday. And that's pretty remarkable, because last year she won Pan American team individual gold in three-day eventing. All the while, she's had a couple show jumpers.
She hasn't done the eventing for that long, though. She and I are about the same age and grew up
competing
on the circuit. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I mean, she's done an incredible job. And then I just sort of was like, oh, okay, you know, Marilyn's moved on. She's doing eventing. That's her thing. And wow, she's dominating. But bam, she showed right back up in these huge classes. What an incredible story.
Well, you know, I have a theory behind that, by the way, guys, is eventing doesn't pay any money. So every once in a while, she has to come back, take some of the jumping money so she can afford her eventing habit. That's my theory.
Oh, man.
Well, you don't tell any of the other eventers that, because show jumping is normally the eventer's weakest, you know, phase of the three disciplines as far as the accuracy goes. And I think a lot of the reason that she's been able to go and excel in eventing is because she's such a skilled and accurate show jumper. It's a strong phase for her, obviously. So she's really proving that you can be at the top of the sport in two disciplines, which is so rare. We really don't see that at all anymore.
Right.
No, it's so cool. That was really exciting.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to see the show. The weather, thank goodness, was wonderful. And I got to see it all from the air, too. Bonus.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, Glenn and I were up there, well, you know, last year, and doing the live stream. It is such a fun event, and the grounds are so beautiful, and to have all of the different disciplines there kind of commingling, and that grass field is unreal. The footing is so incredible.
The grass field it's definitely unreal, and I've got to work on a story today to sort of wrap it up, but they were talking about expanding it for next year, and they want to bring a three-day event there, and there's some chatter about dates and all of that. So I think that they'll for sure continue to grow.
Now, did I see something on one of these press releases that they had hunters there as well?
You did not see that, no.
No, oh, wow, it must have been.
Hits Ocala down the road had a hunter derby, $100,000 USHJA derby the same day on Saturday.
So. Okay, that must have been it. Yeah, no, it's really incredible. It was such an event. I definitely want to go check it out again next year.
So, yeah, it was my first time going, and I really enjoyed it.
I know this was a World Cup qualifier. What right now, and I know that they moved this show up a month so that the jumpers could qualify for the Olympics, right? For the World Cup and the Olympics and get all that in?
No, and here's where things get complicated, as always in show jumping. You know, there's plenty of series for them to all compete in. And because it's an Olympic year, there's not quite so much emphasis on the World Cup final. The top finisher in the East Coast League, Kent Farrington, he's not planning on going to the World Cup final at all. His target is Rio, but he just wins so much. He's won a couple of these qualifiers, and it put him up in the standings. It was the last qualifier before the World Cup final, and the World Cup final itself is about 4 weeks earlier this year. It's March 23rd. That week it starts. So it's happening very soon. So now the qualifying leagues are closed, and the people who qualified will go to Sweden, where the World Cup qualifier will be this year. And the people who are wanting to go to Rio, most of them aren't doing the World Cup qualifier with a couple of exceptions. Richard Spooner is one exception, and I'm a big fan of his, so I could go on about him and tell you all about him. But he's going to do the World Cup final, and he's also hoping to improve his standings to make it up to Rio, if any of that makes sense. Are you still with me?
Yeah, he's really got some nice horses jumping around. It's fun because he's not always in Wellington. I love watching him ride as well, and it's great to have him down here, watch all his horses go in person.
Yeah, he's in Wellington for one reason, and that reason is to qualify for Rio.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a fun year being an Olympic year. It really kind of mixes things up.
They always give me more to write about in an Olympic year. I'm always way busier.
I bet. Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. And Wellington was a great, great five-star Grand Prix on Saturday night. McLean Ward won, and he is riding this horse that is just like next level, out of this world, amazing. Even McLean, who's a pretty buttoned-up guy, and he doesn't really express a lot of emotion, he's saying things he's never said before in the press conferences, that this horse is just something else, that he feels bad for the other people because they just can't compare. This horse that E.J. Azure.
It is. It is a super horse.
Yeah, it's really an amazing horse. I mean, you don't want to jinx anything, so I'm going to go knock on some wood, but he's pretty much a lock for the team on Rio. And he won in a 3-horse jump off. It was a really hard course, really big crowd. Wellington's doing a great job this year of also drawing crowds on Saturday night. We're seeing the sport just grow and grow.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I agree with that. It's you don't always get such a huge crowd. And I think, I mean, in this country, in Europe, you do, but you get what's really interesting about the Wellington spectator crowd down here is that you get a lot of people who are not horse people. They're from the town or they're vacationing, and they hear this is sort of like an event complex, and they've got the little carousel and vendors, and you can shop a bit. And it's shoulder to shoulder everywhere you go, packed.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to see in our country for the sport, and I really hope it continues. This may be a slightly drier topic, but I just have to tell you guys that the annual North American Riders Group meeting was last week, and they pointed out that in 2010, there was something like 4 FEI events or FEI 5-stars in all of North America, and this year there are 17.
Oh, wow.
So that's a huge leap in 5 years.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Very exciting. My job security is just going through the roof.
Yeah, right? Seriously, we have a lot to cover here.
Yeah.
So it needs to be, though, because there's got to be opportunities also for our up-and-comers to be able to play and get that skill set before having to haul off and fly to Europe or, you know, go and get this mileage elsewhere.
Right.
It's very exciting for our sport.
Well, that's all good.
Exactly.
Then we know you won't be out. You know, the Kardashians have enough paparazzi. They don't need you to. So
I'm not interested in any Kardashians. Horses to take pictures of. Although Miami is going to be a really fun show, and you guys, I'll just keep saying it till you show up one day. You're going to have to come down to Miami and check out this GCT show in April. It is, like, amazing.
The one on the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one on the beach.
You already head north by then, don't you, Em?
No, I'm not. I'm definitely going. I was meant to go last year. I got my press pass and everything, and I think I was sick. Something happened. I couldn't go, but I'm for sure going.
What's the date of it again, Erin?
It's April 7th to 9th.
Oh, well, that's early enough in the month. See, usually Rolex is a conflict for us because we head up the end of the month to Rolex. But that being
Rolex
so early in the
no
month.
Comparison.
Oh, no. Rolex is
three day eventers.
I'm sorry. Rolex is the best event in the country. I'm sorry, Erin.
What is that Rolex thing you're talking about?
That's so
funny. But, yeah, however, if it's the beginning of the month, I should come down. We can head over there, Em.
Exactly.
That'd be fun.
Totally. Yeah, we can go down. It'll be great. Is it 3 days, the big classes?
Yeah, it's 3 days. It's open to the public. There's free seating. You can multitask and literally sit on the beach and have a tan, turn around and watch them show jumping. So
great for the sport. I love that, the whole Global Champions Tour, and they can put up these arenas in unsuspecting places and have the general public experience this awesomeness of these show jumpers jumping these huge jumps. And the footing, I mean, they're able to just put this where was it? We shared that time lapse video for Olympia, I think it was, a few months ago, with them erecting the whole arena and putting the sand in and everything. I mean, it's such an undertaking to put this together, but I mean, it was unbelievable. All the pictures I saw of Miami last year, it was just unreal.
Yeah, it's unreal. And Jan Topsoe directs the GCT. He does it 15 times a year on his tour. So you feel pretty confident that if he's running it, yeah, they've got it down. And I'm headed back to Europe in the spring, so I'll hit a lot of those again, those GCT shows, which, again, can't complain.
No, they're usually in pretty nice locations.
You know, most of the time.
Yeah, and Aaron suffers through them.
I know, really.
Yeah.
I do my best.
Your job. That's awesome. It's so exciting.
You and Darley Newman from Equitrekking are like teenage girls' dream. You get to just travel and do fun horsey stuff around the world.
Right. Hey, I'm looking for an intern. I can put a plug out there to the horse world.
Are you?
We need interns. Yeah.
Is this like somebody
that... you have to be a real A-type workaholic, crazy about show jumping. You got to be right on my level, so... We need someone special.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
I don't think there's anybody at your level, Aaron.
No, there's people that will be excited to do that, though. Absolutely.
Yes,
they can contact you, through Facebook? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can contact me through Facebook or through the NoelleFloyd.com website. Noelle Floyd is growing really quickly, and we've just been having meetings in Wellington, and we're ready to take on a couple of interns and show them the ropes. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Oh, that'd be a sweet job.
Emily, if this whole riding thing goes south, there you go.
I know. I was like, is it inappropriate for me to apply? Like, I want to travel around and go to global champion shows. I'll write about it. Whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. Just take me there. It's so funny.
Well, Aaron, I hope you keep checking in with us when you are traveling around the world. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you guys call me anytime. I'll be happy to. It might be from a castle in France next time.
All right, good. Just rub it in.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, you guys. Bye.
Wow.
We might have to do that beach thing. I'm going to have to look up the dates and put them down. And then I think we didn't do it last year because you had headed north, right?
No, I was down here, but I had something else. I can't remember.
There was something going on, and I know that we always have Rolex.
We had Iggy Azalea was shopping for horses. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of important.
It was important. Yeah, that's okay, we're going to do the horse shopping.
Yeah, we'll just help Iggy
and they're going
shop.
Great, by the way. I was terrified, you know, that like the tabloids were going to pick it up and she was going to fall off, you know, like Madonna did, and it was going to be a big deal. But she's been doing great. She's jumping. She's doing courses. The horses are going well. So,
You're going to have to get Iggy out now on our radiothon.
I know.
The holiday radiothon.
I know. I think she's actually getting quite into it. And her barn also does eventing. So she's going to start slow, you know, some of the show jumping stuff. But she's multidiscipline.
All these famous people getting into horses.
I know.
We should have a really good radiothon this year with all these famous people. We should get those guests for it.
Yeah.
Well, our next guests, speaking of guests, are ready if you want to introduce them.
Yay. Okay. Some of my favorite products here. We have Horse Gym USA. We have Jill Townsend and the owner, Mikala Gunderson, coming from Wellington here. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good morning.
I'm so glad we were able to work this out. I am an avid user of Horse Gym myself, but I thought this would be super to have you all on and tell people about the products, the water one. I'm going to call it wrong. Should have my my product list here.
We're excited to be able to share the products with everybody. Horse Gym, in the last year, went under a transformation. We decided to add some of the new water products to our line because we feel that, you know, that's kind of the direction of rehabilitation and conditioning. So we have a manufacturer out of Denmark that makes the most amazing cold saltwater spa and water treadmill. So we've been able to add that to, you know, the mainstay dry treadmill that, you know, we've sold well over 600 of and have been successful with for the last 10 years.
Wow. I was going to ask you that, how old the company was here in the U.S.
Yeah, 2004 is when they started. So we're actually going into our 12th year, really. Wow. So yeah, it's been great. Mikola and Henrik, Mikola, who's on the telephone with us as well, she and her husband purchased the farm behind my house, and we became friends. And of course, I had to buy one of their treadmills because it was amazing after I borrowed theirs for a while. And you just kind of went from there and started working for the company. So it's been a great time for us.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, it's and so Jill, Glenn and I met up at Live Oak last year. Is how we all got connected. But tell us, I use the treadmills. I mean, I'm a jumper girl and it's a game changer for me. But for people, we have people in other disciplines listening as well who aren't familiar with your different products. Can you explain to us how even just your basic walk system treadmill works?
Yeah, certainly. And we sell products to people of all disciplines. I mean, our treadmill, if your horse is even a pleasure horse, I mean, it's appropriate for them. And we have those customers as well. When you watch the horses walk on the treadmill, they're able to move their body in such a way that's different than they are across the ground. So it allows them to swing through their back and it strengthens their core. If you think about horses that, as they get older, they get low in their back, their ribs spread out, they get weak in their core, just kind of like us as humans, right? It's the toughest part to keep strong. And the way you generally get a horse's core strong is by doing, leg yields and gymnastics and flying lead changes and jumping. That does it. But what it also does, it's very wearing on their legs and their joints. So the treadmill allows the horse to strengthen their core and add condition with very low impact. So you're able to build the symmetry and straightness in their gait and their flexibility without pounding on their legs, so you can keep them sound and you can keep older horses in the game much longer.
I'll tell you, I have a young horse. All of my horses changed dramatically since using the horse gym. I had the walk horse gym with the incline at the facility that I was at. But my baby horse, I'll tell you, it was remarkable because he would, you know how the babies are. He walks like a drunkard. Yes. Like his legs are like all over the place. It's like, you know, interference, like clanking this foot into that leg. And he's not a klutz, but he's just green and he needs to come together. Putting him on the walk treadmill, because you've got the sides, it's narrow enough that it keeps him straight. And with the chest bar and the butt bar, I mean, he's basically in, you know, a little chute. His walk got so much better. His gaits were so much more fluid. And for sure, the core was stronger. But I was shocked at how much better that the walk got without, I mean, I didn't do anything.
And it also gives him that ability to stay focused for 30 minutes, right? When they're walking on the treadmill. And that's so
we struggle with that.
The young horses. Exactly. So my background, I trained a lot of pony hunters, right? So if you're trying to train a lot of 4-year-old and 5-year-old ponies, and then you're putting 7- and 8-year-old children on them, to get somebody to focus for 30 minutes was, you know, quite a feat. But after the ponies started going on the treadmill and it just gave them that ability to get on there and to learn to keep walking, even if they looked off, and to keep going, it translated into the riding. So they were able to go ahead and you put the child on and the pony was able to carry forward and be straight, like you're saying, and more balanced.
Oh yeah. No, it was a game changer for my horses. And I like the incline. I mean, the incline is hard for them. It's a real workout.
Well, certainly at 3 degrees of incline. So it's all fully automatic, just like a human treadmill would be. So, you know, not everybody has to go at the same incline. In the old days, the original treadmills were set on an incline. So your 2-year-old horse had to work at the same degree of difficulty that your 10-year-old stallion was working at, which was impractical and made a lot of young horses sore. The footing was also poor. It was generally just a belt over metal. And metal rollers a lot of time. Our footing is so soft and giving that it's very low impact. But more than that, it's fully programmable. So I can use programs that are appropriate for a pony hunter and also a Grand Prix jumper. So the same machine can do everybody in the barn. It doesn't matter if you have cutting horses or pleasure horses or hunters or jumpers. You can pick a program that's appropriate for them. and they go to different levels of incline. At 3 degrees of incline, with a horse walking across the ground, it is the same as them walking across the ground at 3 degrees. So anything less than 3 degrees, it's actually easier on a horse to be able to walk on a treadmill. And that's what makes it so beneficial when you're trying to rehabilitate one with a suspensory or a problem. But as soon as you get at 3 degrees, then you start to build strength through their hind end. And with that strength, then you're going to, you know, increase their stamina and their scope and their speed and endurance. So that's what the treadmill will do when you use the different inclines with it.
Now, I did notice, I don't have experience previously with other treadmills. I've only used Horse Gym, but I do, one of the things I notice when the horses get on is you do see their footprints actually make little indentations in the belt. It's like, it's soft, you know, it's not a, it's for sure a shock absorbing situation.
Yeah, well, there's three layers of material. We've got our belt. And then under that is a composite plate. And then below that, we've got a layer of compressed rubber. And then you've got the base of your galvanized steel. So the horse has three layers of shock absorbent material that he's walking on. But yet the belt is very durable. I mean, the way it's constructed, our belts are designed, you know, to last 5+ years walking, you know, 8 to 10 horses a day. So even though it has give to it, it is a really well-designed product, and it's one that is very durable. The other treadmill that we have that's exciting and it's new to our line is the water treadmill. And the cool thing about the water, I mean, it does everything our dry treadmill does, including doing the incline. But what it has the ability to do is to fill the vessel with water. And when you fill it with water, at different depths of water, you create a different workout. So you're able to use that machine to focus on different muscle groups and different types of workouts each day. So when the water is low, the horses have a tendency to just lift their feet up and to look. And horses that have had EPM issues, they're finding great success with the shallow water of reconnecting some of the neurological stuff. So they're very excited about that research. But when you bring the water up to about the horse's knee or their hock, that's where you get the biggest range of motion, right? And as they step up and push vertically. So it's terrific for horses that are jumping horses or piaf or passage, horses that need vertical lift and muscular strength. It's amazing. And then if you fill the water to the depth above their knee, but below their shoulder to the middle of their forearm, they're still bearing all of their own weight, but they have the most resistance in the water. And well, along with that resistance becomes a great aerobic and cardio workout. So really terrific for horses that you're trying to build endurance and wind, your race horses, your 3-day horses, your jumpers. It's a wonderful opportunity to do that. And again, all with very low impact. And then if you have a horse that has severe soundness issues, you can fill the vessel all the way up, which will reduce the horse's weight by 40 to 60%, depending on the size of the horse. And so they're able to move through the water with minimal amount of impact on their joints, and it allows them to maintain a level of conditioning without, you know, having continual problem with soundness. So it allows them to get sounder while you're keeping them fit and they're ready to go back to work so much sooner. So the water treadmill is absolutely been a game changer. We've got, a couple of veterinarians, Dr. Brendan Furlong, for example, in New Jersey, is one of the United States Equestrian Team vets. He has all four of our products in his soundness center. And, you know, he's just had great success with that as well.
Wow. I haven't actually used the water treadmill. I definitely want to. I've seen videos and things, but that's really interesting the way that you're explaining it. That makes sense with the horse when it's the low water, that they look down and pick up the knees and the back and all of this. It is a game changer. Now, for those of you who don't know Mikala, she is the owner of Horse Gym with her husband and is a top dressage rider for Denmark, which we are hoping she's going to Rio, as we've heard, this summer. this is the jumping show, but I thought it was so interesting to hear from a dressage rider, a top level dressage rider's perspective, how this affects those horses. What are you looking for, and which system do you prefer for the dressage horses?
Well, you guys already explained all the benefits of the different treadmills, and we in the dressage horses, we look for the exact same things. But what we also focus on is that the horse has to have a very correct walk. In our test, the walk counts double, and we have both the extended walk and the collected walk, and in some tests we also have the walk pirouette. And so it's really important that the walk is perfectly clean in the rhythm. And when the horse walks on the treadmill, it's very, very hard to not walk correctly. So if the horse has a tendency to pace, it's not really easy for the horse to do that on the treadmill. So if you have a difficult walk, the treadmill can help improve the quality of the walk tremendously. So that's one of the great benefits for our horses. Other than that, we need, just like the jumpers and all the other horses, we need strength in the hindquarters over the back. We need the suppleness, and we get all that from the treadmill.
Wow. And now as dressage riders, I mean, at your level, I guess you probably would, but is fitness really endurance? That's something that needs to be achieved and worked towards.
Yes, absolutely. Just like in other horses, I mean, our tests are 10 minutes long almost.
Wow.
We need a good warm up for each test. So the horse has to be able to work hard for at least 45 minutes. So yes, we need that. And of course, also as the horses get older, we don't want to train them too hard on the rider. So for me, I ride my top horse now is 16 years old. And I work her in the morning, and then she goes every day. She goes on the treadmill in the afternoon, so I can avoid having to ride her too hard just to get the condition. So the treadmill can take care of the condition, and then I can work a little bit more on the movements and the suppleness.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Same for the jumpers. And now we were chatting in the studio about sort of different disciplines and people that would be interested in the treadmill, and you know. Really, I've used it myself actually for my older breeding stallion who is not in work anymore, but he can get on the treadmill twice a day and walk. You know, I don't do so much the incline to get him necessarily fit, but just keep the top line, give him something to do, work the body. It's low impact. It's fantastic, I think, for the young horses and the old horses, even the ones that are not in full work. And like Jill was talking about, just mentally schooling the horses to stay focused. You know, a horse walks behind them and they all want to turn around and stop walking. And then they hit the butt bar and they have to keep walking. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is fantastic. We used to, when we were still back in Denmark, we got a lot of young horses, young stallions in before the stallion approvals. And they were only 2 years old. And that was the best place to train them was on the treadmill because they just had to learn to focus. You know, even though you had other horses walking by and they would be screaming and jumping around, but they still had to find their feet quickly.
Yes, focused.
So they learned a lot. It saved us a lot on the handling.
Wow, to, 2 years old, that's young. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
it makes
that's
sense.
When you have
but
to prepare
beautiful.
Them for the stallionship. Yeah.
Yeah. And have you have you had great success just across the board with the horses, the young ones as well, just being able to load them on and close them up and send them on the first
absolutely path. I mean it really does save me a lot of work on the ground. I mean the ground manners, because it helps you for loading them in the trailer afterwards, because they're so used to this. They come up and it's nice and open and they get used to getting tied up and have the bar behind them and in front of them. You know, they get used to being locked in a smaller space, but they can still move, so they never feel like they're contained and they can't get out of there. And I feel like then when you get them in the trailer later on, or when I take them on airplanes, like they're like totally fine. And I think that's, you know, another benefit from it.
Oh yeah, for sure. The training aspect is a no-brainer. So, well, before we lose you guys, how can people order, contact for more information? What's the best way to get a hold of you all?
Well, I think they can give me a call. My number is 561-818-0049. My name is Jill Townsend, and my email address is Jill, J-I-L-L, at horsegym.com, H-O-R-S-E-G-Y-M.com.
Perfect. And if you guys are at the Wellington Showgrounds, they are set up there right by Ring 6 across the International Ring. I saw the water treadmill, and I feel like I could just bring my horse over and do a demonstration because you have it plugged in. I'm joking. I know it's not probably plugged in, but it's, I mean, you could just rent it out. My gosh, it's such a fantastic product. You'd have a line all the way around the block.
Well, I think that there's definitely a need for somebody to do a really high-level rehabilitation here in Wellington. And we also, in our display, have the cold saltwater spa, which is so innovative, and we've had amazing results and success with that. So maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that in the future.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for coming on. Great to talk.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good luck, guys. Super product.
I think you should go over there and take a dip.
I think I should too. I mean, seriously, they're all set up there and I walk by them every day. I'm like, I think it would be better if there were horses in all of these machines, and I'll supply the horses. I'll bring them over.
You'll do that out of the generosity of your heart.
Exactly. I mean, somebody's got to do it. I'll bring one for the water treadmill. We'll bring one for the salt spa. It's crazy though. I mean, it really is. Okay, so they're about, we didn't touch on this, but I know that they're about to have some used treadmills coming available in the next couple of months, which is much more cost effective. But it really, you don't have to be a competition horse. It works great for young horses, old horses. I mean, even, you know, just pasture horses that are turned out a lot, but you want to do some trail riding. The horses last so much longer because you, like they're saying, low impact, can build the top line, keep the back strong. You know, it doesn't have to be for top competition horses. It is like a horse health product. It really is.
And you don't need a big area like you do with the normal ways you swim a horse. So
No, it's so cool. It's small. I mean, it's probably not, but it appears more narrow than a single slot on a two horse, like when you load them in. But the sides are I think they're like plexiglass or something like this, so you can see through it. So
yeah,
it doesn't,
which I thought was pretty cool when we looked at it last year. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're unbelievable.
Very good. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Emily is back from S Equestrian with our jumper episode that we do once a month here. And it's so good to have you back. Coach Jen is in the producer chair, and we're going to head off to our next guest.
Yay. I know we're moving on here. So we have somebody that I do a little bit of business with. She's actually a sales rep for S Equestrian, a top hunter trainer out in Colorado, Sarah Watson from Watson Equestrian. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yay. I'm so glad you made it. It was last minute, I have to confess. We were throwing together a few
she's
things.
She's in Colorado. Let's hope she's had her coffee because it's early.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
have many cups.
Oh, good, good.
Many cups, uh-oh. It's one
Thank
of those
you.
Days.
Of course, you asked me yesterday, Emily, while I'm sitting on a horse and the wind was blowing, and I was like, oh, sure.
Sure, because who can say no to Emily?
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
I was so happy that you said, because you never know. People get nervous and you know, they don't know, but it's you've got such an amazing business model and business out there, and you do so many different things. I mean, you're being a rep for S Equestrian. I know you do some repping for other companies. I mean, you are a busy girl and very successful. It's incredible.
Thank you. Yes. It is a busy world out here in Colorado doing horses and trying to keep interested in other things like doing the S Equestrian and helping with other companies and doing other things.
You know, before Emily gets started here, we often think about Colorado, you think Western, right? But it is really big now on the English side.
Yeah. I mean, with the Colorado Horse Park and now being owned by Mark Bellissimo, I mean, we're just getting some really amazing riders out here. The business is growing for sure. I mean, when I moved here 8 years ago from the East Coast, I was like, what am I getting myself into? And I recently, there's another trainer at the barn that I operate out of, that she does some more Western and quarter horse things. And she was on a little rating horse and goes, hey, have you ever done a spin? I was like, no. And so she's like, get on. So I got on and I looked like a genius on this smart little quarter horse reining horse, and I did my first little reining spin.
Oh.
And then I got back on my jumper, and I was like, oh, wow, this is great.
That's so cool.
I did a Western spin.
You're so right, though, because they do have, okay, like that's, you know, been around for a long time, and you've got a sort of crossover from the West Coast kind of bleeding over there, but it really... I don't recall exactly when the Colorado Horse Park became with all the new footing, kind of what it was. Maybe it was like 10 years ago or something. I used to show out there when I had my business in Dallas, but it's like huge horse sport, like for jumping. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like the jumping. I mean, it's all over the place. So, and now are you close to that complex?
Yeah. My business is about 35 minutes from there. And that's where the majority of the horse shows are. In the summer, between there at the Colorado Horse Park down in Parker, and then they do a big series up in Estes Park, which is wonderful, right next to Rocky Mountain National Park. So that's always a fun horse show to go to, and that's in July. So you get out of the heat of eastern Denver and get up into the mountains for a few weeks. That's always a fun time.
Well, it's so beautiful out there, too.
Yeah. I ride around in the outdoor, and I'm like, wow, it's so beautiful here. I don't see giant snow-capped mountains from my outdoor in Connecticut.
No, it's a totally different landscape for sure. But it's nice. Like it does get warm, but you know, you can get out of the heat. Like when you're in the shade, it's actually quite cool.
Yes. Yes. That dry heat out here really does actually help. You don't get that humidity where you have it in Florida, which I'm so fortunate to come to this weekend.
Yay. That's right. I get to see you this weekend. Fun.
Yeah.
So now, Sarah, tell us about sort of how your business, you do a lot of different things with your business. I know you do hunters and jumpers. But what I was most interested in with this episode is how you're developing your kids and younger, greener students, adults or kids, on into their first entry to showing and how you kind of prepare them.
Yeah, I mean, I for sure do mostly kids. And that saying of horse trainers wear many hats, that is definitely true when working with teenage girls.
Yes.
I have many jobs.
Can relate.
Coach of teenage girls. Like, what time of the month is it for you?
Did you eat breakfast?
Yeah, we do lots of positive influences. You know, with these kids especially, you can't be too hard on them because they're already so hard on themselves. So just doing lots of flat work, lots of positive teaching, building up from small exercises to bigger exercises so that they can really feel, okay, I got it right as a cross rail. And now it's a 2-6 vertical. And now it's a 3-3 vertical. And now it's a 3-6 oxer, and how it doesn't really change much, but to give them that ability to go, oh, I did it right here. I can probably do it right this next time. Okay. I did it right twice. Probably get it right a third time, or at least build off of that to get some more experience and some more knowledge. We really go to a lot of the local shows, because going out to the horse park, they do local shows there. They also do all that big A series, and some of the kids will go do that. But the local series is a confidence builder out here in Colorado. I will say that for sure.
Yeah, which is so important. Like you're saying, I mean, I like that. You've got to really build off of the positive to the positive, because it is. And even, you know, I mean, you ride at a high level, it gets a little anxiety ridden, you know, you know, the stakes get higher and all of this. And if you don't have a solid foundation, you know,
right.
It gets shaky.
Right. And I have a huge foundation in flat work. In college, I rode with a dressage trainer. And so I really try to incorporate that, because I find that if they can get around and do their flat work, the jumps in the middle really aren't going to be a big issue. And seems to be working so far, so
yeah,
we're pretty happy with that.
No, you're right about
but
that.
Yeah.
And now, do your kids, your little ones, when you get them started, do you put that emphasis on the flat work as well at that young age?
Yeah, and in little games, you know, poles on the ground, let's play around the world. And I really try to get the kids to ride together. A big part of my growing up and foundation in riding was being with my horse friends. And I'm still at 32 friends with a bunch of those girls still. And I think this makes it more fun and less of a competitive individual sport when the kids get to do it together and cheer each other on and be, you know, supporting one another is a huge thing. I think that sometimes gets lost in the horse world, and we become more competitors than we are teammates. And for me, it's important that they all cheerleading for each other.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, we get that with our affiliation with the IHSA. We get to see that every year at finals. And honestly, I mean, I think the kids ride better too when they have that camaraderie and they're a little looser. They're not, you know, anxious and they're cheering each other on, for sure. It's important.
Yeah. I mean, I did IHSA and I always remember being in my head going, well, this is an individual sport that we are making a team sport. And let's yes. see how this goes.
I know. But, you know, I grew up similar how you did in a barn where it's an individual sport. You're riding in classes, you know, under your own name, but it felt like a team. Like we all had team jackets, exactly. You know, like everything was in blue and mm-hmm. green all the time, no matter what. Like we painted our nails in blue and green. Like everybody was hardcore and it felt great. And I think we all rode better because of it. It wasn't so stressful. You were able to really absorb information and really learn more from the other people. I think, do you agree? A large component of learning is also a visual.
Yeah. And that's why I like to do the group lessons as much as I can, just because the kids actually sit there and watch their friends go and do the exercise that we're working on. And everyone can learn from one another to get better at the same or similar rate. And, you know, never really feel that this person is doing more than I'm doing, and keeping the competitiveness as a group thought and not as an individual, you know, looking down at someone else kind of attitude.
Oh, for sure. No, for sure. And now these kids, when you get them started, are some of them just doing basic level shows, or a lot of them interested in continuing on to do the A shows?
Out here, I've got a lot of kids that just mostly are doing the basic shows. The local circuit out here is vast. I mean, there is a show every weekend in concurrence with the A shows. So I'll usually start the kids off at a local show doing something that's going to be, that I know they're going to be successful at, and setting them up for success. And even if they can go around and jump a 2.9 course, we won't start there. We start with, you know, let's go be successful. Let's go make ourselves feel better and start at a lower level and get that blue ribbon or that red ribbon and get our picture taken. And then we'll move up. And the local shows are really nice and supportive for that type of a community and thought. And then, you know, depending on the kid and their dedication, some of them will go off and do the A shows, and we'll go over to the horse park, and we'll go up to Estes and travel even to New Mexico and go do the horse shows there and get that real, real competition that we have, you know, around the country in the hunter and Eck world.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's such a nice stepping block. I mean, you grew up in Connecticut. I was in New York, and we had that available as well. You know, so many of those sort of one day shows, and you shoot over and there's not as many people in the class.
And they are long days.
Oh gosh, aren't they? I know. You're like, one day, let's make it 2 days and not be here for 24 hours. You know, just do a 12-hour and a 12-hour. Oh, God, I know. Exactly. I remember getting up like 4 o'clock in the morning, and like I said, it was a whole group barn thing. So all of the kids with like very little supervision, we would be eating like ice cream for breakfast and like, going to
getting on horses bareback in their stalls.
Yeah, no, totally. Great. Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm surprised that none of us died.
Love me.
Yeah, seriously. But it does give you a different element as a competitor. If you do choose to continue on to that A circuit crowd, I think you're just more well-rounded. You end up being a better horseman, horsewoman, because you're thinking about the foundation. You think more about the animals. A lot of times these kids are doing their own grooming, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a groom when I go to the local shows because just not really, that's worth it. And so the kids are there all day. They may as well take care of their horses. So when they go to the A show, they do. They have a little bit better understanding of what goes into getting their horse prepared for the ring. And they can be a participant in that and not just, and then be like, okay, my turn.
Yeah, no, totally. But it gives you that foundation. That's great to hear. How many kids do you take to these one day shows?
It varies anywhere from 3 to 7, kind of depending on who wants to go, whose family's not traveling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good number. It's the right number for one person.
Yeah, I know.
But I do have a good friend that helps me out from time to time, Jill Dedeker. And
Jill's from, you're from up back here too, East, but yeah, I know Jill.
Yeah, Jill and I went to high school together, and then she ended up in Colorado after getting out of horses for a little while, and I said, "You need to come help me."
Yeah, she's such a fantastic rider.
I have 8 horses going in one person, so you need to come. Yeah, Jill is an amazing rider. She's a wonderful asset to have in the barn.
Okay.
And it's fun to be doing horses with my best friend.
Before we run out of time with Sarah, we have a theme going that we started earlier in the show today, because George Morris's book, The George's Book, is coming out.
Right.
And we've been, so
I'm going to need to read this.
We started talking the first 15 minutes about George and Emily's experience in clinics with George. Have you ever taken a clinic with George?
I have. I did a clinic out here in Colorado with George.
And what was your most memorable moment? What did he tell you you were doing wrong?
I was riding a horse. He did not know I was a professional. Thank goodness I look like I'm 15 when I have a helmet on. And I was riding this horse who was super naughty, and he was a big, nice hunter and didn't want to be in this teeny, tiny indoor we were clinicking and doing these tight turns, and he kept rearing. And you had to get on this horse on the wrong side. And George goes, "Get over here and let me get on that horse." And I was like, "Oh boy, Augie, please don't hurt this old man." And he's like climbing up from the ground. And I'm like, "Oh gosh, please don't hurt yourself." And the horse was rearing and I was, using my stick. And he goes, "Will you not use the stick in front of the saddle? You only use the stick behind the saddle." And he went into this whole diatribe about using your crop.
As your horse is rearing?
Yeah, as my horse is rearing, I'm like, "Sweet, this is awesome. Please don't hurt me." And then
Sarah
George
Watson
is like,
kills
that
George
horse.
Morris.
I'm getting on. Yeah, I killed George Morris with the rearing horse.
Oh gosh, frowned upon. What did he stop?
Like, well, he didn't yell at me.
Yeah, you're right. It always feels so bad when he yells at you. You just want to leave. But
so did he
really
get on? I have to know. Did he get on from the right side? What happened?
He got on the right side, and I was like, "Wow. He can get on the right side. That's amazing." He's magical. And then, of course, the horse was perfect. I'm like, "What did you do?" Just sat on him, and it was like a trance went over the horse. Like, "Oh, George Morris is sitting on me. I won't hurt him."
Okay, I have a I have a George quote that fits this. So.
"You're very beautiful. I hope you have a brain."
George.
Yes. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
Did you feel like 2 inches tall at that point?
This is true.
Just for, it's just his aura, We talk about that in acting all the time, that you have to have an aura. You have to portray the part when you walk in a room before you ever say anything. People just know who you are. And that's what happens with George.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? He has this aura. And he's not a big guy. I mean, he's,
he's a tiny man.
Yes. And he just, but even, I bet you it's that way when he walks around down there, isn't it? In Wellington, he just has this aura.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. His aura is about 6 times bigger than the size of his personal body.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just people clear
no,
us
so
path. They know George's.
You know what to expect when you're going to have a conversation with him. I think
it's kind
you're probably wrong, is what to expect.
Yeah.
You're doing something.
You're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
And you're right, though. He does have a way with the horses. I have had a similar type experience in a clinic with a young horse, and I was like, all he did was be there. He was just there, and he got on the horse, and it was better. That's George Morris. I mean, duh.
Like, you did nothing but sit down.
I know. That's what I should have done. I should have just gotten on and just sat down.
Sat down,
I
right.
Just willed it to be. Just make it better.
But, there's a few guys like that, right? I mean, you got the Monty Roberts who, when he gets on the horse, it's just magical, too. There's a few of those magical old guys that can just do this, and it just works.
What was in their drinking water?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know. We're all working too hard, I think.
Yeah, they're just... That's what we're missing is the pixie dust.
Oh, my gosh.
We just need the pixie dust.
So true. It really is unbelievable. That's a good story, that one.
This is my favorite quote from George.
My advice for your daughter, the best thing you can do for your daughter's riding career is have her take tennis lessons.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you should pick up a tennis racket.
Yes.
You know what?
Try swimming.
He shoots straight. He lets you know what he's thinking. There's no, you're never wondering, you know?
No.
So you got to give him credit.
Which
there.
Is nice. You know, you're like, okay, well, I apparently did that wrong. So I better fix that.
Totally.
And you pay for that opportunity. Oh, by the way. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you and the encouragement that you can fix it, because if you can't fix it, like he says, you know, take up tennis.
I got a question. The next time you got on that horse, did it buck and rear?
Sorry, say that again.
The next time you got on that horse, did it rear?
Yeah, I mean, the rearing never went away.
You had to be jerked for it.
You didn't have the pixie dust, the George dust.
The horse's name was Call the Cops. It was rather appropriate.
That's funny.
That's a great name for a racehorse, Dial 911. I got to look that up and see if there's ever been one called Dial 911.
That is a good one. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, if we not, always have said, we've always said here at the Horse Radio Network that the name you give your horse will be its personality later. And in this case, it's true.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Sarah, we have another guest to get to. Thank you so much for sharing your George story. Jennifer,
thanks,
this is the George episode. We're going to rename this.
I know. We've been like totally railroading the Hunter theme. All right. Thanks, Sarah.
All right. See
you,
Sarah.
We'll see you this week in Wellington. Bye.
Yeah. See you this weekend. Bye.
Oh, she was a trip.
Funny. She's great. She's so funny. And she has a super business. But, you know, she herself rides in the derbies and the bigger Hunter classes. But I love what she does with the kids. I mean, it's just, I'm you know, follow her on Facebook and do a little bit of other business with her. But just night, like really, like just good horses, like simple horses, like real, you know, not a lot of medications and lunging and all this, like a good program. And I think it's quite successful with these kids coming up the ranks and getting into real showtime.
Well, our next guest may not want to come on now after she's heard those last stories, because we've kind of had this theme going the whole day. So we have to ask her at the very beginning. Why don't you introduce her if she doesn't hang up on this
first. We have a top Hunter rider, actually somebody I grew up riding with on the East Coast, Jennifer Hannon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Glad we're able
Jennifer,
to work it out.
You know now what we're going to have to ask you first. We've had this George Morris theme going because his new book's coming out, and everybody's been telling their George stories, and everybody in the Hunter world has a George story. So what's yours?
So as a junior, I did ride with them quite a bit. They had, they called it developing rider clinics at the end of every, you know, fall season. You get done with indoors, and the top, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure what the numbers were, but maybe 15 or 16 riders, and some of them were young professionals and others were juniors coming up through the ranks, were picked, and you went to Gladstone to the headquarters and had a clinic for, I think it was a 3-day clinic, and he would go over, you know, what you did in the barn. He'd critique you cleaning the stalls, how you tacked up your horse. And
yeah, no grooms,
one of the
right?
hardest. No grooms. And
that's
most
right.
of the time you took a borrowed horse, so you didn't really know what you were getting into. And I would always have panic about our lessons. And what would come at the end was, what did you learn from the lesson? And God forbid you say anything similar to what somebody else, the other 10 riders, said. I mean, you were crucified. So it was like, you've got to come up with what exactly.
So
you
if
learned,
you're number 10, you got screwed.
You're freaking out.
Oh, it was so much. I would stay at the front of the line. But I learned so much, and he really taught you to be brave and really be a good horseman. That was his main goal. It wasn't how it looked or what it done. It was, you know, time to get kind of gritty and get it all happening. So I learned quite a bit.
Yeah, you're right. That is that was really the theme. I was telling my George story earlier in the episode, and you were actually probably there. Now that I'm recalling, we don't have to name names and go into it, but you remember when one of the riders he made jump around the huge course in the indoor without stirrups, just boom out of nowhere.
Yeah,
were you there that year?
And
I was like, oh no,
yes, I was.
Don't make me do it. I'm gonna fall.
And I think it was actually the year, it was a young professional at the time who will remain nameless, but it has become quite famous. I don't know if it's the same time, but it sounds like a similar situation.
Yes.
And there
was
this two stride out of the turn, and the oxers were humongous, and the two stride was basically a three stride. So you really didn't make it out alive, and you had to come out and you had one stride to do it. And it was definitely a fear factor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. I was like, oh, God, are we all going to have to do it? it's over. I should leave. Because you're right. We all had to, everybody always borrowed horses because most times your competition horses were spent or they just weren't good clinic horses. So you were just like, my gosh, I'm like set up for failure. Like, I don't know my horse. Got to ride without my stirrups. And
God forbid you act slightly wimpy or, you know, like it couldn't happen. That was just not a choice.
All right, I got one more. I don't know what this quote is. We'll hear what George has to say.
If it is easy, it doesn't teach you anything.
Well, there you go. That just fit with what you were saying.
George. No, it's great. Well, and so Jennifer has had all of this fantastic mileage, showing jumpers as well. But what I wanted to touch on this for this segment was your success that you've had over this last WEF with your hunters up to date. We're not done yet, but it's been really incredible. Can you tell us about what you've got jumping around right now?
So I have a great group of clients and horses that are a little bit new this year, but some that I've had for quite a while. And I have a great high performance horse. His name is actually Olympic Fire. It's kind of a funny story. We bought him and he became a great Derby and high performance horse, and the owner didn't want to change his name. So it's kind of funny that I'm the only hunter with a name like that. So I find that quite entertaining, but he's great. And then I have a couple, up and coming young hunters that just actually started to debut last week in the pre-greens. And I have a new stallion that I'm quite excited about. And this another horse named Uppercut that's really coming on strong this year. I've had him for a couple of years, but you know, it always takes a little bit of time to kind of figure out what buttons to push and what makes the program best for each horse. And this year he's really starting to shine.
Now your new horse, the stallion, is it? This horse, did it come out of quarantine? Is it from Europe or?
He came from Europe. Yep. We just got him out of quarantine actually last week. So he's just been really in the country about a month now. And he's pretty special, I think. I have high hopes for him, but I'll probably take it a bit slow this year and kind of keep him a little bit behind closed doors and then debut next year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that, excuse me, sorry, that was really my thought is, okay, so because they don't have the hunters like this in Europe when you're shopping, how long does it take you to kind of get them accustomed to the job? There's got to be some different training. I mean, what does that look like for the season?
So every horse is different. They are just like people and have a different personality, but I really try to take it as slow as possible so that they understand and are not scared, or rather myself or owners disappointed with the outcome of how it goes. So I'd like to try and get their flat work a little bit differently. They're ridden very collected and, you know, shorten their bodies and very animated. And a hunter, as you know, is supposed to be ridden quite loosely and off of a soft seat and a soft hand. But with all of the components really of a Grand Prix jumper, people make the big mistake of saying, you know, that a hunter doesn't have the scope or not as much stride. Well, that's completely wrong. A good one needs to have all of that and be quiet and be able to do it without any pressure. So sometimes they actually need more than what you would normally think. So this year for him, he's been jumping some bigger classes there. He's 7. And I will move him down quite a bit and do some of the 3-3 performance stuff and the national derbies, not the international derbies, but the national derbies, and just get him acclimated to being ridden soft, being ridden without pressure, and doing all of that in a very quiet way. Luckily, he's a quiet horse, or at least I think so. So I just will take my time to get him to understand all of that. I probably won't show him until Kentucky spring.
Wow. So it is quite a bit of transition when they come in to learn the job.
I really feel like it takes a full year.
Wow.
You know, in 6 months you can get something, but I really feel like, you know, a year, their bodies look how you want them to look. They have to put a lot more weight on. Their muscle tone is different. You want them to be a lot rounder. And also to be fit enough to withstand to the job.
And those lines, you're right, are being a jumper girl, I almost never show a hunter unless it's like a baby horse, you know, from a breeder or something the first time in the ring. But the lines, they're long. You do have to have a big, loose stride.
for sure, and they have to do it in such a relaxed way. And hunters have evolved so much now that they're not, you know, they can't go fast. They can't, you know, flick their head, which I do think is a little bit unnatural, but they need to go in a really soft, relaxed way on a long stride without really any pressure, which takes a while for the horse to understand that and not to be nervous about it or to be off the distance.
Right. No, for sure. And how do you feel about that? Because you've shown, you know, competitively top level hunters and jumpers your whole life. As a professional, you, I assume, watched sort of the development of the Derby class come around. And how does that differ from your regular jumping classes, what the judges are looking for?
Well, with the Derbies, I think that actually my equitation background really plays a big part. And I think that they are a little bit more open-minded as to, you know, how the horse jumps. If the horse jumps incredible and it's a foot and a half over the jump, they're excited about it. Whereas the regular first-year class, that might look like your horse is being spooky when it really, no, that's just the way that it jumps. So I think that the Derbies are great in the sense that they are a little bit more open-minded, where the first years and second years in open hunter divisions, the horses have to be kind of so cookie cutter in some places. I personally find that a little bit upsetting, that they can't have as much per se personality as I would like, but that's sort of the way the industry has gone.
That's interesting. And I guess a little bit the argument is that the lower heights there, that you're possibly cross showing with an amateur, junior, I guess they're kind of looking at suitability maybe a touch more.
For sure, for sure. And I think you have to take that into consideration. And, you know, an amateur, a 3-foot amateur horse is very different than, you know, a high performance horse or a professional's first year horse. I think that they can coincide, but it takes a special horse to do that. And a lot of them are, you know, are different from a suitability standpoint.
Interesting. So the Derby horses that are jumping around, those fantastical classes that we all get to watch now with the brush and the coop and all this, those horses are kind, that is their job. Is that right? They don't do anything else, like their Derby horses?
I do think that most of those will sometimes, you don't often see a first year horse, but they can be for sure. Larry and Kelly have quite a bit of first year horses that do them. But they're more high performance horses, and they can be amateur horses, but they have to be super, super brave and very scopey. Some of the higher options are 4.6 and 4.9. And those are big jumps to gallop up to, again, without as much pressure as you would ride it, like a jumper jump.
So, yeah, for
sure. I think some of them, but most of them are high performance or open hunters and Derby horses as well.
Wow. And now your horse that I saw, I was actually over at the farm just briefly at your place with Tara, because Tara's over there. But I saw your champion horse come back from the Parade of Champions. And now that horse, it did the confirmations. Is that right?
It did the regular confirmation this year. He was a first-year horse last year. He did the regular confirmation. And he will also do the Derbies.
He will.
Two Derbies last year and just started doing that. He also goes with his owner in the low adults and is a great trail horse. He's kind of an all-arounder.
He was so cute. His little face.
He has a great personality.
He looks it, and he was very happy and proud of himself coming in with his champion. But now what do they look for with the confirmation? I'm, you know, a jumper girl, but what are they looking for?
So they're looking how the horse is put together, you know, basic confirmation as far as you know, how long their back is, where their neck comes out of their shoulder, how straight are their legs. It's important not to have a horse that has a club foot, you know, so that sort of thing. And then also a horse that has a beautiful top line and is aesthetically pleasing.
And that is its own division. They don't judge confirmation in the Derby, right?
No, it's its own division. You start with a model in the morning, and then every jumping class and the under saddle also have a confirmation portion onto the end. So when you jog for soundness after your trip, they judge you on confirmation. And then in the under saddle, they'll put you into a lineup while you're sitting on the horse. And then they'll how they would judge the undersaddle, and then they'll judge the conformation, and sometimes horses will move up and down. So you could actually jog in second place, and say you have a horse that has very good conformation, you could move up to first.
Wow. That's
yeah,
great.
So it gives you a little added bonus if you have a pretty one at the end.
Yeah, it does. It carries some weight. That's incredible. Well, what do you have going for the rest of the season?
So our main week was Hunter Week, which is now 2 weeks ago. And for the rest of the season, I'm kind of gearing up towards week 12 with the Derby at the end of circuit. I'll probably show my open horses two more times and Derby Week. And with the adults, again, probably two or three more times. Most of the horses go with me and with their owner. So we need to space that out so it's not too much on them.
It is. Yeah, it's so different than the jumpers because they do that so many rounds, you know, inside the division, inside a day.
I do have a question.
For sure. So if you...
Jennifer, I was just going to say before we were running out of time here, but I did want to ask you one question before we go. So all of the sports that, you know, I'm a driver and a carriage driver and the eventing sport, everything is changing, right? I mean, eventers are even talking about changing the name of the sport. So where do you see the hunters going in the future? What changes do you foresee looking at it from the 50,000 foot view?
I really think that they're actually on their way up. They took a little dip a couple of years ago. I think just judging has gotten a little bit different. They're looking for different things. So the industry and the hunter world needed to kind of come up to that level. And I think now more owners are getting involved and more money is being put into it. So I really do think that it's on the up and up. And I think the derbies are only getting bigger and more interest and more prestigious for sure. So I really do feel like it's on the upswing. One thing we did go through was some name changes. The high performance used to be the regular working hunter, and there used to be two sections of green conformation. Now there's just one. So there are a few things that they are looking at. One other thing that they're thinking about changing is making, which I'm not for, but making there be age appropriate classes. So instead of having pre-greens, which could be any horse, say from 3 years old till 9 years old, they're having it more specific and they will jump a specific height. It might go in that direction just from a fairness standpoint, but I'm really hoping that it stays with tradition.
Yeah, I know for sure. That would be a lot of reworking on the schedule when you really think about it. But
for sure.
Well, you guys have to check it out. What now?
I think that's actually a little bit unfair just because when you do get a horse from Europe, they don't know this job at all. So it is really very different and it takes quite a bit of time. So it's not fair for them to have to jump a certain height that maybe they're not ready for.
Yeah, no, totally. Absolutely. That'll be interesting. Well, we'll stay tuned for that. And you all, if you want to see a Hunter Derby, you need to live stream, check it out. They're always popping up. USCF, people pass them all around Facebook. They're really incredible to watch. And if Jennifer Hannon is a top hunter rider and trainer, you can check her out on Facebook, Ocean Echo Farm. And thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us. We really appreciated all your insight.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Good luck the rest of the season. Bye.
Thanks.
As usual, a packed jumping show brought to you by Emily Thompson of S Equestrian. And you can find all of her cool stuff at sequestrian.com, right?
You can. sequestrianco.com.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, we changed that. Right. sequestrianco.com. Co.com.
The other one sends you to the new one. But yeah, check it out. Those jackets. People are loving the show coats.
Very good. And of course, the shirts, which Jamie wears all the time. So
she looks so cute.
Yes, she does look so cute in her shirts. Not for a while now.
She's so bummed for her breaking the foot.
Yeah.
Us horse girls.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
It happens.
Well, Emily, thank you so much. It's been fun hanging out with you again. I missed you.
I know. This was great. I missed you guys too. I'm glad we got a good show here. Showing the hunter people some love, which, you know, we're a little shy on in the other episodes, so we got it all packed in this time.
All right, and I just looked, and the Miami Beach Horse Show, the media accreditations are closed, so you're going to have to pull some strings.
Okay, we can do that.
Call Donald and get us in.
Exactly. if he's not busy.
Yeah, well, no.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing going on today. There's nothing going on today. It's not Super Tuesday. So,
oh my gosh. So funny.
You don't think he's going to take your call to get you some tickets to the beach show?
We can try. I mean, if anybody should be in, we should be in because we're so much fun.
That's right. Exactly. We bring fun to jumping. That's our new tagline. We got to remember that.
Well, we'll get in. I mean, either which way, even if we don't have press passes, we can go and watch because you have all the seating and the beach.
That's true. That's true. We can hang out with the bodybuilders on the beach.
Exactly. We're going to look really, really sad out there against all these people.
Yeah, I'm going to be fully clothed. I got news for you.
I know. No, we'll try to get passes, though. We got to make it happen. It's important.
All right, Emily, thank you so much. We'll
all
look
right,
forward.
Talk to you soon,
in case
guys.
You don't remember, Emily is here the first Tuesday of every month. If you missed past episodes of Emily on the show, you can go back and take a listen to all of them at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can listen to the last 25 episodes of all the shows at our app. Just search for a Horse Radio Network. It's free and it's simple to use on iOS or Android, either one. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back and we'll be having our Wednesday show, which usually means the European Report with Victoria Spicer. And I know you guys all love when Victoria stops by with her horsies and other things with her very Scottish-British accent. All coming up on tomorrow's show. See you, Em.
Later.